bear hugs. That's what he gives bears. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
That's right, kiddies. Time for a little fish talk here at ODJ Radio. We call him the Doc. His name is Gord Pizer. He is the fishing editor of Canada's award-winning, most read outdoor publication called Outdoor Canada Magazine, dealing with all good things outdoors, fishing, hunting, camping, etc. Coast to coast to coast, Canada's national outdoor magazine. Morning, Gordy.
Good morning, Ange.
I got Nick in the booth with me today.
Hello, Gord.
Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. I hear you guys were down on the Atlantic fishing for stripers.
Yeah, we were.
Before we get into that, Nick's got a question for you. And I said, if anybody knows the answer to this, it's the Doc.
Uh-oh. So
I was asking my grandfather earlier, right? So if wolves and coyotes are in the canine family, and then like lions and tigers are in the feline family, where do bears go? Like, where do they
live? Where do they exist?
Where
What's their group? What's their group?
You know, that's a really interesting question, Nick.
Thank you.
you know, they're very closely related to hogs. Then that's really interesting. But because they hibernate, and you know what? I'm going to have to look that up, and I will let your grandpa know next week.
Wow. You stumped the Doc.
Stumped the Doc.
He did.
I feel honored.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, my Lord. We flew back from Toronto yesterday.
Yes.
And it was so gorgeous in southern Ontario where you guys... We flew over Lake Superior on the way home. I have never had a bumpier flight. They're calling for 19-foot waves on Superior today. Wow. We had to circle Winnipeg for 1 hour. They've closed the Trans-Canada from Winnipeg to Saskatchewan. And in some parts of southwestern Manitoba right now, there's 80 centimeters of snow.
Holy mackerel. 80.
I'm looking out the window here in Kenora, and you'd think it was Christmas Eve.
Oh my God. Winter is here.
It's coming.
Oh, winter's Lord. Here. Way too early.
Oh, boy. All right, let's talk about a non-winter activity. Nick and I were fishing stripers down on Bay of Fundy a week ago, and it was absolutely gorgeous down there. A great fishery, brand new, by the way. I'm always excited, Gord, to see a brand new product in our industry. And this striper fishing on the Bay of Fundy is brand spanking new. In fact, there's only one outfitter.
One charter
that you can, on the whole Bay of Fundy, that will take you out to fish for these guys. And he's only been doing it. Well, he's been fishing for him for 14, 15 years, but he's only been doing it as a business for two seasons. So,
and how far out are you going?
Oh my God, Gord, a mile, half a mile?
We were catching him on shore.
Yeah, we were catching him on shore.
But that's the interesting thing, and I've always found so fascinating about PEI, is and I know you guys have been down for bluefin tuna, you don't have to go very far. Seems like everything is within a mile or so of the shoreline.
What's cool about this fishery, Gord, much different than the one you and I both have experienced on the Miramichi, where you've got literally, I don't know, thousands is probably very close, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fish coming into that river. But, you know, getting a 30-pound plus fish is a lot of hit and miss on the Miramichi. Okay, so this fishery on the Bay of Fundy is totally different. They may not have thousands upon thousands, but they've got hundreds upon hundreds. And you cannot find a fish that is under that 20-pound mark.
They're all giants.
They're actual giants. And they're predicting that within the next couple of seasons max, they will be hitting 60, 65, 70-pounders in there.
Unbelievable. And casting or trolling?
No, it's very cool. Okay, so keep in mind, we're dealing with the world's highest tides in the Bay of Fundy. So you got a 50-foot drop in 12 hours.
And the speed of the tide, I guess?
It's five miles per hour. So it's a real current. So what they do, they anchor the boats up on these rock piles that they find in 30 to 50 feet of water. They anchor the boats up on these piles, knowing full well that the current, they have to fish them at the peak tide, the highest
tide. So peak running out, also the highest.
The highest tide. So the water is completely pushed back into the Bay of Fundy. And they anchor up on these rocks that are, 30 feet below them. Because in a matter of hours, those rocks are going to be exposed, right?
Totally exposed.
So they already know how to work this thing, because as the tide is coming in, they're on the one side of those rocks.
Yeah.
As the tide is going out, the boat has got to work its way, basically turn around and start flowing the opposite way before the rocks come up and expose themselves. Do you follow
wow.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's intriguing, but they just throw out 1 and 2 pound weights, and you have to constantly be changing these weights because of the speed of the tide, right? You have to
That's
read
right.
it properly. So they'll start out with 3/4 to 1 pound, and then they'll go right up to 2 pounds worth of weight.
And then work their way back.
And they work their way back to lighter as the tide moves in and out. And they use mackerel. They just
wow.
Yeah. Like just frozen mackerel and then cut it into pieces and put it on this giant hook and drop it.
What a
and guys, how deep are you fishing then?
Oh, max.
They're on the bottom.
They're on the bottom and they're maximum 50 feet. You're never
so they
beyond
won't,
50
they won't
feet.
Come up off bottom?
You know what, Gord, as I told our guide, I think they need to experiment a little
yes.
bit. Right now, this is a pretty primitive way to fish them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it works.
It works.
and right now, I mean, their main interest is making sure that every guest that goes in gets the great experience of hooking onto a giant striper, right? So, but I think there's better ways of catching them and maybe lighter gear, because they are using very heavy gear. They're using
yeah.
80-pound Power Pro.
150-pound monoliter.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah. Yeah. They're big. They're big equipment. I mean, now, granted, you talk about a 50-pound striper, and I dare say it would challenge just about anything else under or in that 100-pound range.
Oh, absolutely. Those things are demons fighting-wise.
And the reason they have such heavy gear is because right behind the stripers in the Bay of Fundy oh. is
Shark.
A very large population of great whites.
Oh, so cool.
So just about every outing, they're saying, just about every outing that they have now, you have an encounter with a great white that comes up on the surface as you're fighting the fish and totally annihilates all your gear and tackle. And
wow.
So. There was this great article online, and it has the video of someone catching a striper. And as they get it right up to a boat, this great white, just the jaws appear out of the water and snap, and it's
oh,
gone.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's a great experience, man.
Now, tell me, have they always been there, guys? Is this something?
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently, what our guide was telling us is
that he's been catching them since my age
yeah.
offshore.
Yeah.
No.
And then he bought a boat when he was, 25, 30, and was catching them out in the bay.
But they're just not, nobody's really paid any attention to them.
Yeah.
They've right? just gone under the radar.
So they've been there
and
all along, but,
I wonder if that's kind of like the mature population, and some of those fish might run up the St. John River, or they might run up the Miramichi.
Sure.
I wonder if those are adult fish that kind of spend their main part of their life in the Atlantic.
I guarantee that's what it is, Gord. Absolutely,
yeah.
Guarantee it. And man, what a absolute! And by the way, I don't know whether you had the opportunity to ever sample a feed of stripers, but
they taste
baby.
Good.
I was going to ask. Wow!
Oh yeah!
So can you? Are you allowed to keep a couple, Ange?
One.
Size
limits or slots?
Yeah.
26 to 28 inches in length, I believe, is the size they want you to keep.
So the opposite of, you know, most other fishery programs, they encourage you to take a bigger fish versus a smaller fish. Now, the problem and the reason being, because out there, it's hard to find a fish under that size.
That's probably the smallest of the big ones, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So you got to get yourself down there.
Well, you guys, I'm jealous.
You got to get yourself down there, buddy.
I do.
Gord, it's crazy. You'll have the drag on lock, and they'll still rip and rip and rip and rip and rip.
And did you have a rod, like a rod holder strapped around you, or did you have the rod in the...
Just the rod in the hands.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah, when they hit, oh my God, it's like a truck hit. Yeah, it's fantastic. Anyways.
Tell me, when's that show air?
We're probably looking at end of January.
Right near my birthday.
Right near Nick's birthday, yeah.
It's so cool.
It's going to be outstanding, man. But we're going to do some blogging on our website with it as well.
Absolutely.
So.
Wow.
So anyways, brother, we ate up all your time. I apologize.
Hey, that's the best fish story. I couldn't beat that one.
All right,
well,
man,
well done, Nick.
Thank you.
Have yourself a wonderful Thanksgiving, Gordy, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Same to you, boys. Take care.
Gord Peiser, Outdoor Canada Magazine. Check him out, outdoorcanada.ca. That are it for us, Nikki. We're out of here on behalf of the entire ODJ team. Stephen Labadie, JW, John Winters, our producer. Derek Brandeo, our technical problem today. And Jessica Ellis, on behalf of Nick as well. My grandson, I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks, and happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next Saturday.